Cromwell's Hidden Realms is on the air. Tonight on Hidden Realms, Gavin welcomes Richard Felix from Most Haunted, as well as demonologist, occultist, and author Katie Boyd. And from L.A. Dearly Departed Tours, Scott Michaels. All that along with Jeff Sylvia with sports, Gail Scott Key with Hollywood Nights, and a ton of surprises. Now, here is your host, Gavin Cromwell.
Welcome to Gavin Cromwell's Hidden Realms this evening. We are coming to you live from New Hampshire, from the Haunted Attic Studio. Now, we've got a great show lined up for you today, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. We've got some fabulous, fabulous guests coming on. And, so we're going to kick off with my first guest. And I haven't spoken to him for a while, actually. Last time I spoke to him, I was over in the UK. And Richard Felix, are you there?
Hello there, how are you?
Woohoo! Richard Felix.
Nearly didn't make it.
Almost. We cut it very fine then, Richard.
Oh, yes.
My palms were sweating. So, Richard, how's the UK treating you right now?
Oh, great stuff. Yeah, absolutely fine. Things are good. I was at death's door a fortnight ago.
I heard about this. How are you feeling?
Fine, I'm absolutely fine, but I tell you what, I nearly became one of the ghosts of Derby. I really did.
My God, I'd be communicating with you, Richard, yes. From the other side. So, a lot of people out there, a lot of the listeners that, you know, may have been living under a rock or something would recognise Richard from his appearances on Most Haunted. And, I mean, other people would know you from doing very, I know you do very famous ghost walks and tours of York, Derby, and
that's
you
right.
Own Derby Jail, Richard.
Absolutely right. One of voted last August the best paranormal location in the British Isles.
Woohoo!
How about that, hey? Now then, pretty good that. I didn't expect that, but I mean, I must be honest with you. It has a pedigree like you know, I mean, lots of, you know, jails are like prisons. You know, talk about tormented souls. And really, there are so many ghosts, if you, for want of a better word, in that place. And I've actually seen one of them.
Fantastic. Oh my God. I mean, yeah. I've heard so many good reports about Derby Jail, Richard, and I haven't actually been there in person myself. I can't believe this.
You must come. It's only small. I mean, it really is. It's only the basement, some of the basement cells of the old prison, that goes back to 1756. But all that's preserved are the cellars of the houses now that were originally the prison cells, including the condemned cells, the night cells, and it really is a very scary place. There's no getting away from it. The last hanging Droydon Quarter in England took place in front of the building in 1817. Oh, so it's got a pedigree like no other.
I love it. I mean, so you've seen an actual apparition there, Richard. Who was this?
Yeah, 3:20. On a Friday afternoon.
Down to the minute.
Oh, yeah, don't worry. It's imprinted on my mind for the rest of my life.
I love it.
But broad daylight, Gavin, and I was alone, and I'm frightened of ghosts. I was alone in the prison, in the jail, standing in the kitchen, on the phone, talking to a guy from Derby City Council.
Wow.
When this grey shape, apparition, person shaped, it wasn't male, it wasn't female, but it was a dense grey haze, the shape of a person, glided down the corridor past me. I saw it, and I also sensed it as well. And I didn't like it.
It can feel pretty intense, Rich. I mean, exactly what I say to people, it happens when you least expect it, you know?
Exactly. That's exactly when it happens, when your mind is, well, open, I presume, and you're perhaps not thinking of anything else, although I was on the phone to Derby City Council. And it just, you know, just glided past me. It didn't do anything. I swore to this bloke, bloody hell. I said, I've just seen a ghost. He said, don't be so real. I said, so of course I put the phone down and I did what everyone always does, you see. Someone's come in. We're not open, but someone's come in. And I stuck my head round the doorway and shouted, excuse me. then it didn't want excusing. It had gone. That was the end of it. So I went back on the phone and I said to him, a lad called Darren, I said, I hope you don't mind, but I may well stay on the phone a little bit longer than we'd originally anticipated.
Yeah.
And he said, hi, mate, what do you mean? I said, because listen, when I put this phone down, I'm on my own.
Oh, my God, Richard. So, really? I mean, what do you do there at the Journal? Is there tours there? Is there evenings, paranormal evenings?
Yeah, it's open to the public. We do the second Derby Ghost Walk, which we call the Hangman's Walk of Derby, which starts and finishes at Derby Jail. 3 hours, 2 haunted pubs, candlelit supper at the end of it in the cells. We do those during the week. And then for every Friday and Saturday night, we do night vigils in the jail from 9 o'clock till 4 o'clock in the morning. With a meal, and we have our own amazing team of paranormal investigators. And people, we blow their minds. Literally, people, the number of people that come down that get back to us afterwards and say, I didn't believe in any of this until we came to Derby Jail. And now even my husband is a total believer. You know, it's quite amazing. Really is.
That's fantastic. I mean, I've got to get down there.
You must. You really must come. And, you know, can't guarantee anything, but I'm sure you'd pick up all sorts of things that are going on down there, because it's active.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I say to people, Richard. You know, always go to these investigations and haunted locations, or even into a one-on-one reading. Never expect anything, you know?
No, so right. I mean, as we say over and over again, you know, ghosts don't appear to audiences.
Mm-hmm.
They don't jump through hoops and do things as we command them or ask them.
Exactly. They're not like a performing dog, you know?
Of course not. No. Why should, I mean, you know, why should any self-respecting ghost, spirit, soul, entity, call it what you want, do what we tell it to do?
I know.
When, you know, why would you?
Exactly. I mean, you know, goodness knows what they must think of us when we're saying, could you make a noise? Can you do this? Can you do that? Yeah. They're probably saying, yeah, I can, but I don't really want to, or it's disrupting me, or just get it to my hips.
Absolutely. And I tell you what really gets me, and I've heard it on one or two different programs, TV programs, what have you. You know, someone's sitting, you're sitting there, there's a supposed ghost, spirit, whatever it is, in the room, and someone will say, can you do something for us, please? Can you bang on a table? Can you make a noise? Can you push one of us? Can you touch one of us? Will you throw something? And for Christ's sake, this is it's a ghost. I mean, what do you want? Which one do you want me to do? You know what I mean? Ask for one thing at once. Don't be greedy.
I know. You throw a load of stuff there at them. Do this, do that. You know, sing a song, do a little dance routine.
Exactly. So which do you want? You know, ask for one at once, please.
Exactly. Exactly. And like I said, these programs, I mean, a lot of people see the edited show. They don't see the fact that you have to wait for hours on end sometimes to get a result, you know?
You've got it. Yeah. In other words, sitting, watching paint dry for hours and hours on end.
Falling asleep.
And then, of course, you get, I mean, they're entertainment shows, basically, and you get the edited version, the best bits of everything that happened within a 24-hour period.
That's right.
Which is what you want.
Of course. I mean, it's what people want to see. So I wanted to talk to you. What have you been up to recently, Richard? What's been kind of going on in the Felix realms?
Oh, well, I mean, basically the book to end
Ooh,
all.
Ooh, the book. Tell me about the book. It sounds juicy. Yeah,
the book. I mean, I am literally chained to my desk in the study. With a computer.
I wish where you were going with that then, Richard.
Yeah, writing, like fury, because this book has to come out, would you believe, by the end of August.
Oh, deadline.
And it's the ultimate, it's going to cause a lot of stir, a lot of problems for people, not problems, that's the wrong word, a lot of controversy, Gavin.
I like that.
Well, this is what it's all, listen, a long time ago, many years ago, someone said to me, I opened the Heritage Centre in the centre of Derby, which is an old Tudor grave, which was haunted, where I started the ghost walk from. And they said to me, you know, if you really want to get on in life and you want some publicity, the best thing you can do is get the church against you.
I remember you said something to me, Richard.
Yeah.
On the show in the UK, and I had goosebumps. I loved what you said. Can you kind of relay it to our listeners here tonight?
This is very much in the book. Basically, very quickly, I mean, in my opinion, there's two types of ghosts. there's one that I think makes up the vast majority of what we mistakenly call a ghost, which is nothing more than a recording. In the residual, in the stone, it's the stone tape, the water, recordings, that sort of stuff. And then, of course, we have the entity, the soul, the spirit, call it what you will, an intelligence.
That's what I find over here in the US. It seems to be an intelligent haunting, seems to be the main thing.
Oh, much more over in the US. I tell you what, there's much more intelligence hauntings than there are residual. And I'll tell you why. Shall I tell you why?
Tell me.
One of the big reasons, in my opinion, is because most of the buildings are made of wood.
Very interesting. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Got no stone tape business here.
God, I didn't think of that, Richard. Yeah, good point.
Yes. So you've got much more entities. Real ghosts, I suppose, is the word.
I have found that.
Yeah, it's true. So basically, you've got this intelligence that has chosen to stay. One of the reasons they choose to stay is because they want to.
Mm-hmm.
They like the place. They love the building, and they'd spent 45 years in the same house doing it up, and they didn't want to leave it. So they choose to stay.
Yeah.
Then you've got the spirit or soul that, for whatever trauma or tragedy it went through, doesn't know it's dead. Mm. You know, a young man, 18 years of age, a lot of airfields during the Second World War haunted by young airmen that blown to pieces and literally got the rest of their life in front of them and don't actually know they're dead.
Exactly, because it was instant and there's no time to think. Right. They're just blown out of the physical body.
Bang into the ground, 350 miles an hour. Christ, what happened there? You know, and where's my Spitfire gone?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we have the big one that is the ones that and of course I ask this question so often. Has anybody ever heard of the ghost of a caveman? No.
No, exactly, no.
Why? Because the caveman died without any fear of any worry. And then 2,000 years ago, the church came on the scene and started to terrorize us all with fear of divine retribution, hellfire, damnation, judgment day, seven deadly sins, 10 commandments, purgatory, all these things that terrified us into thinking if we did something wrong, where are we going to go? Do not pass there. Go straight to hell and burn in hellfire for eternity. That's a pretty daunting thing for most primitive people, medieval people and beyond. So, you know, would you try it on at the pearly gates, knowing full well that St. Peter ain't going to let you in? Would you go straight to hell? No, thank you. I'll stay here, thanks.
I mean, we discussed this, like I said, on the show in the UK, Richard, and it was just, I've never thought about it, you know, working psychically for all these years, I've never thought about it like that. And since you said that to me, I have bared that in mind, doing the investigations, and I've been thinking, my goodness, you know, it makes sense.
Really? So when you've got, you know, I mean, prisons, of course, everybody in the olden days that went into a prison, believed themselves a sinner.
Yeah.
And knowing full well where they're going to go, that they're going to burn in hell. And again, I'll be very honest with you. If you can choose to stay because you liked the pink flock wallpaper on your bedroom wall that you'd saved up, I'm bloody sure you'll stay because you're terrified of burning in hell fire at 10,000 degrees centigrade for eternity.
So,
yeah.
I know. I mean, it's such a valid point.
It's a real fact. Suicides, number of places where you hear of people committing the worst crime, of course, in the eyes of God, self-murder, suicide.
Yeah, exactly. So a lot of suicide.
So they know full well. Remember, they've chosen to do it. They know what's going to happen. And if there is such a thing as an intelligence of a spirit, soul, and anything, which I genuinely believe there is, and you have the right to stay or go, I'd stay here.
I would as well, and I think I will, Richard, when my time comes. I'm going to stick around and terrorise a few people.
Well, you need to. Of course you do. But so really, we're talking tormented souls that have been conned by the church.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a shame.
It's the first form of government, you see. Fear.
Yeah.
Terror. You know, when those church bells rang on Sunday morning at 8 o'clock in the local village, it was illegal not to go. You had to go to church. You were terrified of the vicar, the priest, or and of course the Catholic Church. even more so. I mean, it's only recently, you know, that the Pope has issued a papal bull stating that all unbaptized children don't go to purgatory anymore.
I know. I'm unbaptized myself, Richard Felix.
Well, you're going to burn in hell for them.
I'm looking forward to it.
Well, why go up there and be lonely?
Exactly. Yeah, much rather. I'm probably going to meet a few more interesting people down there.
I'm sure you would. Yeah. So anyway, all of this and a lot more goes into the book, which is called What is a Ghost?
Well, I'm going to put my name down for a copy because this is fantastic. I want to own this.
Come on over when I come.
Oh, definitely. Now, yeah, talking of this, we were talking about hell and demons and all this a minute. I've got Katie sat next to me here now. And you hear what? Say hi. Say hi
hey
to Richard. Hello. This is Katie Boyd. She's a demonologist, a cultist, and she's got a little grin on her face.
I must talk to you.
And she's got a little grin on her face as we're talking about hell and all these kind of juicy little details. And so what do you think, Katie?
Oh, I totally agree with Richard.
Yeah.
I totally understand what he's talking
about.
It's
a brilliant point.
I was sitting back here just grinning, going, oh, God, Richard, I could talk to you all day.
It's great.
Well,
but
there you go.
Yeah, exactly. But Richard, you are coming over to New England in August.
Oh, indeed. I'm coming over on the 17th of August for a fortnight to do New Hampshire, New England. I am really very excited about it because, Ron Kolak, of course, of New England, of Ghost Chronicles, New England Ghost Project,
has
organized an amazing fortnight for me. really, I'm including he's taking me down to Gettysburg.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. I've not been down there. I'm scheduled to go, but that's going to be an absolute mind-blowing time to go down there. But do you know where you're going and what you're doing in New England, Richard?
Well,
how
I know.
People get involved?
I know I'm doing an event at the Worthington in Lowell.
Yes,
I'm doing a lighthouse tour.
Oh, fabulous. There's some really crazy lighthouses around here. I did it last year with good old David Wells.
Something called, is it Dinner with the Dead?
Dining with the Dead.
Dining with the Dead.
That's at the Wyndham Restaurant, yeah?
I mean, there's all sorts of things. I think we're doing something in Salem, which I'm very excited about.
Oh, you're
going
to
going off. So I'm doing a series. I'm doing about 12 events, I think, while I'm there in the fortnight.
No rest for the wicked.
Oh, no, but listen, you see, it's not work for me. It's just pure fun.
Oh,
I don't get to work, I just have fun.
That's exactly that's the right attitude to have.
And then Ron's taking me down to Gettysburg. We're doing a dinner down there. I'm staying by Little Round Top at Gettysburg. And I'm also doing some filming because I'm working on a series at the moment, actually with Derek Acora.
Oh, I love him.
Called Battlefield Ghosts.
Do you know what, Richard? I was interviewed the other day, and somebody said to me, I think it was Shannon Sylvia from Ghost Hunters International. She was interviewing me, and she said, who was your inspiration in the paranormal world? Who is your inspiration? I thought, oh God, I know most of them. I don't know. And she put me on the spot, and I just thought, I tried to think back, you know, growing up doing this, and Most Haunted and Derek Acora. Derek was the first one that kind of made me feel all right to kind of talk about this sort of stuff and get involved with things. And, you know, he had a personality, he had the grey spiky hair, the big diamond earring, personality. And he is my inspiration, I got to be honest.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. I mean, he is absolutely great guy, really is. Mm-hmm. Big friend of mine. And as I say, we've just done a pilot for TV called Battlefield Ghosts. Because for me, I mean, number one, military history is my passion, and then ghosts. Tie the two together, and you've got something I think really special. And we've got all the ingredients. People don't realise. You see, people don't seem to understand how haunted battlefields are, because number one, most people don't live on battlefields.
Yeah,
and so unless they've gone to visit. Unless they're walking across the battlefield with the dogs or something, then there are not that many reported sightings of ghosts. But there are more now since reenactment started to take place.
Yeah, exactly. That's interesting, actually. Reliving those old memories, stirring those feelings and emotions up.
Which is attracting. But the thing is, Gavin, that you've got all the ingredients on a battlefield that causes a haunting.
Oh,
you've got everything. Tragedy, trauma, premature death.
Being suicide. Proud, you know, the proudness of standing up for something.
Can you imagine the emotion of standing like in a line of, you know, whether you're wearing the blue or the grey or red or blue or whatever it happens to be. Your side's right. God's on your side. You're fighting for your self-preservation, for your country, for the cause. And the fear that 99% of them must have gone into battle in those days, obviously fearing, you know, maiming, death, wounding, you name it.
It's crazy. You're trauma. Making me think, trauma. You're making me feel, because I've just come back from Philadelphia with the TAPS team. I went over there to Philadelphia and we were at a place called Fort Mifflin. And Richard, this place was phenomenal. And there was something like 1,000 cannonballs a second coming over the walls there. And it's where they found the Revolutionary War. They were keeping the English out. And it was crazy for me to go in there as a Brit to kind of, you know, doing EVPs with my accent and stuff. You know, they wanted to keep the Brits out. They wanted to send them back to the seas. And the place was completely flattened by cannonball fire. And at the end of the investigation, they let me fire off the cannon, which was amazing. It was great. It was great.
Yeah, that would be quite something.
We've got everybody listening from Fort Mifflin tonight. So hello to all the ladies from Fort Mifflin and the TAPS team. We had a great time down there, and it was fantastic, Richard. So we just stirred all those memories that I had the other weekend from Philadelphia.
I really think that, you know, as I say, we're talking of undersung places, battlefields. As I say, all the ingredients for hauntings, but most people haven't reported them because nobody lives there.
Yeah, exactly. No one thinks. I mean, you're bringing up so many interesting points here, Richard, and all the listeners are going crazy over this.
There's more to me, you know, than just, the historian on Most Haunted.
I know this. I know this. Definitely. Yeah. I think you're...
I believe that 18 out of 10 ghosts can be explained.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Now, look, that's so wrong. I've changed saying that now. 10 out of 10 ghosts can be explained, but not yet.
Oh, I love it. Do you see how he keeps us hanging on for that little bit more? I love it. So details for your visit over here to New England, Richard. Details from Ron at New England Ghost Project.
Absolutely right.
So check New England Ghost Project out. They're on MySpace and everything. And of course, you'll be talking about it on Ghost Chronicles, Richard.
I will indeed. Yes, because I'd say I now do what you used to do, of course, and co-host Ghost Chronicles with Ron every Tuesday night at 8, and you know, or 3 o'clock your time.
Yeah,
I absolutely love it. It really is. I mean, I'm sure you did as well.
Do you know what? I had a blast. I love Ron to pieces, but you know, you took over from me. Things got a bit crazy for me, my move over here to the US.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do it anymore. I didn't have the time to do it. And, you know, only the best took over from me. What can I say?
Thank you very much. But I really do enjoy it. And we're just getting down because we've had some fabulous guests already, on the show. But, you know, we're just getting down to some real banter, him and me, because we have, you know, differing views on various aspects of the paranormal. And it's getting fun. It really is. I'm really
That's
enjoying it.
That's what makes it interesting. It was the same with me and Ron when I was on the show. It was the psychic's point of view and him coming from a very scientific point of view. And we used to have a lot of fun. I just love it. And of course, Ron came over to my birthday party and we were chatting away about the show and stuff. And yeah, he was saying that it's going really well. And so that's really cool. So give us some plugs now, Richard. Plug the show, plug the websites, everything. Just give us a
little website. Well, websites I haven't. You see, my fan site's gone down, been down for ages, and it's being rebuilt. Facebook, people can get hold of me, just Richard Felix on Facebook, and there is a there's a fan site on that as well. Anybody over here or wants any information about Derby Jail and the ghost walks and all that, it's derbyjail.com. That's G-A-O-L, Derby, that's the old spelling, derbyjail.com.
Check that out, guys.
All the information's on that.
So the show of Ghost Chronicles.
And Ghost Chronicles, of course, yeah.
What? When's it on?
Well, every Tuesday night, 8 o'clock. And it's, I'm just trying to think how to get them, of course. Is it, I think it's New England Ghost Project at Comcast.net.
Absolutely right. Thank you very much. No, listen, I'm excited. And we could talk forever, Richard. Honestly, there's so much.
I have a lot to say, but I'm bringing the book is going to be FedEx over when I come. Planning on doing a launch, an American launch of the book, hopefully in Boston.
Such a good idea. That'll be fantastic, Richard. I'm looking forward to catching up with you when you come over.
Oh, I'd love to meet up with you because it's a long time since. In fact, I don't think I've actually seen you in that petrol station in Wales.
Exactly. We're like ships in the night, Richard.
Something like that, yeah.
That's right, yeah. It was the petrol station in Wales, of course. But thank you.
Your house.
Oh, you're going to have to come over and I'll give you some British hospitality in a USA setting, Richard.
Sounds good to me, sir.
Well, listen, we're going to get you back onto the show because there'll be tons more to talk about with your trip coming over here, Richard. Thank you so much for taking time out for us tonight. And we'll catch up with you soon, Richard Felix, everybody.
Woo!
Thank you very much. Okay, guys, stick around for us. Join us after the break. We've got more fun and games coming up for you in a moment.
This hour of Gavin Cromwell's Hidden Realms is sponsored by Pararockproductions.com. Don't go away. Gavin will be right back. Okay, so you've put together a great team of paranormal investigators. Your idea of fun is going to places most normal people would avoid, like the plague. All you need now is that look. You know, the look that helps your team stand out from the crowd. That's where Pararock Productions comes in. They specialize in outfitting paranormal teams with apparel that not only makes you look good, but gives your clients that feeling of confidence when you arrive. They also specialize in printing high-quality business cards. These are water and tear-resistant cards with full-color front and back, good for photos and your team's contact info. So step up your game today by going to Pararockproductions.com. And while you're there, check out their great website design offer and other specials exclusive to ParaX listeners. Remember that website, Pararockproductions.com. Check it out today. Pararockproductions.com is a proud sponsor of Gavin Cromwell's Hidden Realms. You've enjoyed ParaX on your computer at work and at home. But today, there's a new way to listen to your favorite shows. ParaX has gone mobile. That's right. ParaX is now available on the Nokia Internet Radio Network. Now, you can take ParaX with you wherever you go. Never miss your favorite shows again. ParaX on your cell phone. Tune in today. Nokia Internet Radio is available on all Nokia portable devices with access to the Internet. Your source for everything paranormal. ParaX. Now on Nokia.
Honey, I'm home. I've got a surprise for you.
Get that filthy, disgusting tire out of my living room. You're on my favorite rug.
Calm down. You're gonna love this.
What? Whoa. The goldfish bowl.
I won't run over them. Relax.
You roll that tire right back out of here.
Relax. It's all part of my master plan to save us money.
This is not going to be our coffee table. Don't even think about putting a piece of glass on top.
No, honey. This is a reminder to keep our tires properly inflated so we can save money on gas.
Can't we just tie a string around our fingers?
Sweetie, properly inflated tires could save us more money at the pump than a week's worth of gas.
You're getting tire tracks on my love seat.
Exactly. To remind us that we love saving gas with properly inflated tires.
What's wrong with the sticky note on the dashboard?
Discover smarter ways to save hundreds of dollars on gas and help the environment, too. Website, drivesmartchallenge.org.
Hey, let's put the sticky note on the tire.
Now, here's your host, the Elvis of the psychic world.
Thank you very much.
Gavin Cromwell.
Woo!
Welcome back to Hidden Realms, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much to Richard. I could speak to him for ages, and I want to thank him very much for coming on. Now, talking of fabulous guests, I got another one coming up now. Another classic one for you. Katie Boyd. Now, she's a demonologist. She's an occultist. All these sorts of wonderfully interesting things. So I want a warm welcome, please, for Katie Boyd. Thank you very much for coming on the show, Katie. You're here live with me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So I just met you the other day. And I mean, I'm so fascinated with the whole demonology thing, the occult thing. I mean, you know, I'm a witch myself, so a kind of element comes into it. And, of course, doing locations, some of the more intense locations have got a touch of the demonology about it. So Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Well, it's my interest started when I was very young. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a severe haunted house in a small town, Goffstown.
Fabulous.
I went down to my local library, found some occult books. It kind of like took off from there.
Mm-hmm.
I found some teachers along the way in my life. And then I realized, you know, knowledge that I have as an occultist, I can actually help people in the paranormal. And so it kind of just, the path kind of took me along, and here I am today, writing books and helping people, you know, with paranormal issues.
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of people who hear the words demonology, occults, they get very scared. They think automatically devil worship and all this sort of stuff. But, I mean, it's a bit of an old wives' tale. I mean, you're here to help people with these cases, yeah?
Absolutely. People, I do have to say this, the word occult is actually, it just means hidden knowledge.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean, you know, somebody's a Satanist or somebody worships the devil.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool stuff. Like I said, we've gone to a lot of locations. It's had a touch of the demonology about it. There's been something. I mean, what makes you different to the other demon? I mean, there's a few. I know Mr. John Zaffis, who's a friend of the show and stuff like this. What makes you different to all the other demonologists out there? I mean, you're the first female one that I've met.
Yeah, I'm pretty much the only female that I know around here.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm an occultist.
Yeah.
You don't find a lot of demonologists that are occultists. I have medical background, law enforcement background.
Mm-hmm.
So that really does help when you're on a particular case that, you know, it's potential demonic, but it's actually a medical issue.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I get a lot of cases like that where somebody claims, you know, I got a demonic in me, in my home, in an object, when in fact there is another answer and it's not even paranormal.
I mean, this is true. They could be, I mean, you could get a call, go to a house, somebody's child, you know, you think about the film The Exorcist, this sort of thing, you know. But first you will check that out to see if there's any psychological issues in the home or...
Absolutely.
You do a full checkout.
There's always an evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just go into, you know, a person's house and be like, okay, yep, this is what it is.
Yeah.
You have to sit the client down, really talk to them, find out what the issues are.
Yeah.
You know, are there signs of spirit activity, of demonic activity? What is the medical history? You know, when I walk into an area, I'm constantly observing.
Yeah.
You know, what type of books, what type of movies are you watching? Are you on medications? You know, did you used to be a drug addict? You know, because there are cases where I do get where there's ex-drug addicts, and they also have what you call... audio hallucinations.
Yeah.
Where they're thinking there's actually a demonic entity inside them. So there's kind of a fine line there. But what makes me, I guess, just different is I blend my occultism in with my demonology.
So it complements, the two complement.
It does. It's kind of like in my book, you know, I cover history of demonology, of occultism. I actually show you where it all really started.
Mm.
You know, like way back in the Sumerians,
yeah.
A lot of these people were actual women, and they were actually occultists who became demonologists.
Wow.
You know, so...
I mean, it's fascinating stuff. It's incredible, actually. I mean, have you actually... No, what I want to ask first before I say that is, how do you know that it's a genuine case? What are the telltale signs that it's a genuine...
Demonic case?
Yes, yeah.
Well, with a demonic case... It kind of goes in stages, okay? Because the whole point of the demonic entity is to isolate that person. They're going to make you feel like you're going crazy.
Mm.
And then they're going to get to a certain point that they don't care who knows that they're around. You're going to have, you're going to see like your walls are going to breathe. There's going to be certain objects that actually are going to fly through the walls, like fecal. I know it sounds really weird, but it's like fecal.
Yeah.
They're like little stones, and they're going to hit you. There's going to be screeching and static on the phone. There's so many. I do cover it in my book, you know, like the differences between a negative spirit and a demonic spirit.
Yeah, yeah, because there are differences.
They are, and that's something that a lot of people confuse.
Yeah.
They just go right to a demonic entity, when in fact it could be like your grandmother.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah.
It's a conversation that you can have for, like, days on this subject. Those are just some of the basic, you know, signs of a demonic attack.
So there's a demonic kind of thing happening at a location. Do you see it? Have you seen what this kind of, whatever's kind of conjuring up all this stuff and doing these damaging things to a person? Have you seen what causes it, a visual?
It depends on what the level of the activity is. Mm-hmm. You can, I mean, hopefully a lot of times, you know, because demonic attacks, they're rare. Yeah. Demonic cases are rare. So when you come across a real demonic case, you know, you got to know your stuff. And some of the people are just, they're so broken.
Mm.
Because that's the whole point. They want to break your will. And it, like I said, it depends on the energy. People see them in different ways.
Yeah.
They want to show themselves. They don't care at that point. You know, it's like a severe case of oppression.
Yeah.
The entity doesn't care.
Is there similarities then between the cases? Is there always a similarity? Is it, you know, for instance, is it a child? Is it just random?
It's random.
Yeah.
It could be somebody who thinks they know how to summon a demon.
Okay.
And they happen to say some of the summoning words,
mm-hmm.
but they don't know how to dismiss the entity. It could be somebody who opens a door either like making a magic mirror or playing the Ouija board unprotected.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what makes me so different. When I wrote this book, I wanted to tell the people the truth. What exactly I do every day, and that, you know, like Richard was saying, you don't get to see, you know, you only see the entertainment on the TV.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're rare. The cases are rare.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, I've not seen a genuine demonic case on TV, for example. I can't say I have. I can't say I've even felt one on investigation. I haven't been part of one. I haven't come across one yet, you know, knock on wood, because I'm not sure what I would do in that situation.
Well, as a demonologist, you know, I even put it in my book, I never leave home without Becca, who is a psychic medium.
Yes, okay? I met Becca. She's lovely.
I never leave home without her.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I always, you know, I tell people.
Yeah.
Because if there's a true demonic entity and that home is infested, spirits, they also tie down spirits. They make spirits, you know, do terrible things to these victims.
Yeah.
And I need that psychic medium to have my back to take care of the spirits and help them cross over.
Yeah, I mean, you've kind of answered my question, my next question there, because I was going to say, if I came on a case with you,
mm-hmm.
what would you expect me to do on a genuine case? If I've not experienced a genuine demonic case before, what would I do? I mean, would you want me to kind of try and communicate with it? Or would you want
I would never put you in the line of fire. I would have you make sure there are no spirits that are in torment, that need help.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes there'll be spirits that'll actually come and try to protect the family members.
Oh, yeah.
And what I would do is I would be like, you need to take care of those spirits. Don't worry about it. You know, I mean, I wouldn't allow the family actually to be in the home if I'm handling the demonic part of the case.
Yeah.
But absolutely take care of the spirits. I will take care of the demonic entities or, you know, whatever type of negative entity it is.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Would you kind of exercise it? What's your kind of ritual of dealing with it?
I would actually exercise it, but I would use the occult.
Yes.
I use certain symbols. It depends on the person's faith.
Yeah, exactly.
You
it's
know,
important.
Absolutely. I can alter any type of magical seal to your belief.
Yeah.
And that's all it takes.
I think it's fascinating. Now, we're talking about your book.
Mm-hmm.
Martin here is actually, I mean, he's had an incredible interest in demonology since I've known it with 10 years. I mean, before that, I remember seeing some of the books around the house and things. And he's just reading your book now, and he can't put it down, this book, Martin.
Oh, thank you, Martin.
It's great.
And so tell us more about it. What kind of made you put like pen to paper and write these things down? Experiences or?
You know, it's kind of funny. We used to, with my paranormal group, Ghost Quest, we used to get a lot of requests of people that wanted to be the demonologist.
Mm.
for our group.
Yeah.
And I'd always write back and say, oh, thank you very much, but, you know, I am the demonologist.
You got it covered, yeah.
Absolutely. And I noticed there was, like, demonology is the in thing.
Mm-hmm.
Huge right now.
Yes, yeah.
And I thought, you know what? I'm going to write a book. I'm going to explain what I deal with.
Yeah.
And some of the things in the paranormal that other paranormal people don't know.
Yeah.
You know, negative thought forms, death by exorcisms. I was sick and tired of seeing people that were, you know, on the internet or on TV dying of exorcisms.
It's frightening.
And, you know, I cover medical in there, different over-the-counter medical drugs that somebody would think they're possessed.
Yeah. Hallucinations and all this sort of stuff from medication.
Low blood sugar could make you look like you're possessed.
Yes, of course, the dark circles, color draining, blood draining from your face. I mean, yeah, exactly. So this book, I mean, like I said, it's fascinating. What kind of, what's it about? What does it include? What have you written about in this book?
Devils and Demonology in the 21st Century.
That's the name of it.
That is. It covers history on exorcisms, history on demonology.
Yeah.
I put in death by exorcisms.
Yeah.
I cover a chapter on how to join a paranormal group, what to look for, what type of questions to ask.
That's really handy, actually, yeah.
I kind of put a field guide kind of in the back all about different prayers.
That's cool.
Different tools in the what a demonologist would use. Oh, my God, there's so much.
This is incredible. I mean, it's definitely an essential, I feel, for somebody in any part of this industry. It's an essential book to have because you can refer back to it.
Right. It's an easy read. I put a lot of information in it. But, you know, I at the same time, I wanted to make the reader think, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, I get a lot of backlash, but in there I had put Jesus Christ is the world's greatest occultist.
Ooh, controversial.
I haven't got a lot of backlash, but I probably will now. But I actually back it up with historical facts.
Yeah, and you say it so politely as well.
You know, but I just wanted people to actually see a different side of it.
Yeah.
See the real side of it. That it's not all, every case is not demonic. You know, a lot of times, like with my paranormal group, Ghost Quest, I'm actually filming.
Yeah.
You know, the other two psychic mediums, Becca Boyd and Raven Duclos, they're doing all the work.
Yeah.
And I'm just filming.
Yeah.
That's how many demonic cases there are.
Yeah. I believe you. Like I said, I've done, going into the thousands now of investigations, UK and US.
Yeah.
And I can't say I've come across a genuine demonic case. I've come close, but I can't say it was a full on.
It's kind of like out of my 21 years, okay, in my field, I've done about 5 full-blown real demonic cases.
My God.
That's how rare they are. And exorcisms, I am sorry, but I feel, you know, let's rule everything else out, you know, before you do an exorcism.
Yeah.
That is not cool. People are being exorcised because they have a mental you know, a mental disorder or psychological or whatever the case may be. I'm very strongly, I don't believe in that.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's a really good point to raise, actually. You know, there's no need to exercise somebody just, you know, willy-nilly, you know. It's pretty heavy stuff that we're talking about here. So, we're talking about the group of Ghost Quest.
Yes.
So talk to me now. I mean, how large is this group? And,
Ghost Quest actually is just the 3 remaining co-founders.
Fantastic.
Myself, Becca Boyd, and Raven Duclos. They're both psychic mediums.
Fantastic.
And me being a demonologist and an occult sciences expert, we kind of cover it.
I was going to say, it's a nice mix of everything there. And, I mean, is it open for people to come along to investigations with you, or is it a closed group?
We've never allowed anybody to come on to our private cases.
Mm-hmm.
We do get a lot of private cases.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe that's something I'll bring up.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, with the group.
Is there websites? How can people kind of keep in touch with you, see what you're doing?
They can. The Ghost Quest website is ghostquest.org.
Okay.
My website is, it's really easy, it's katieboyd.net.
Simple, and I like that.
Very simple.
KatieBoyd.net. Absolute brilliant. Buy the book. I mean, where can we find the book?
You can find the Devils and Demonology book in any Barnes & Nobles, Borders. You can go online to Amazon or to any local bookstore. And I do know that it keeps selling out in a lot of the bookstores. So
it's a good book.
You know, if it's not in your bookstore, go to Amazon.
And order online, I mean, guys, I really encourage you to go and get this book. It's fascinating. It's full of all the details in there. Don't just look at the cover and see like a demon on there.
I picked that cover.
I love it. I love it. But I think it's fabulous cover, and it really does sum up. I like those kind of old images, those freaky images. I love that. But for people, you know, pick it up, have a look at it, read it. It's, you know, it goes back to the don't judge a book by its cover sort of thing, you know? Because there's more to it than just the demonology in there. Like you've said, you talk about paranormal teams, how to join one, the right questions to ask. So I say get this book, guys. It's definitely essential. We've got a copy here. And, so go and buy it, please.
Thank you.
My pleasure. We're going to get you back again, Katie.
Absolutely.
Because I want to talk more about these cases. I think it's fabulous that a woman is taking a stand and doing this demonology thing. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, this is a subject you can talk all day.
It is.
There's like so many. Richard.
You just see it. Yeah, Richard. Getting excited then. Richard Felix just saying, I could talk to you. I need to speak to you. But yeah, definitely. So fantastic. So, Katie, thank you very much for joining us. Thank you very much, Katie Boyd. Thank you. So, okay, guys, we're going to go to a quick break now. Pop open another beer, another lager, and I will see you just in a moment.
Gavin Cromwell's Hidden Realms is brought to you this hour by Pararockproductions.com. Gavin will be right back. Whether your group does investigations as a hobby or as a more serious endeavor, people need to know you're out there and ready to help. The best way to do that is with a website. Pararockproductions.com can help you get noticed on the web. Their professional designers will set up a 4-page website, secure your domain name, and host it on the internet, all for one low price, exclusive to ParaX listeners. A website is a great way for clients to find you and to learn about your team. For more information, go to pararockproductions.com. And while you're there, check out their other great services, such as custom design t-shirts and business card printing. Don't delay. Get noticed today with pararockproductions.com. ParaRockProductions.com is a proud sponsor of Gavin Cromwell's Hidden Realms. Thursday, August 6th, 3 shows, 3 hosts, 1 location, all coming together live for the investigation of a lifetime.
I wanna be loved by you, the deedly 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 dum, poo poopy doo.
Don't miss this groundbreaking event. Stay tuned to ParaX for more details over the coming weeks. Thursdays are hot on the ParaX Radio Network.
You must be your fairy godmother.
Yes. It doesn't take a fairy godmother to tell you that the right fit means everything.
Good heavens, child. You can't go in that.
Children under 4'9" need to be in a booster seat because they aren't ready for adult safety belts alone. Remember that 4'9" is the magic number. And get your little pumpkin there safely in a booster seat.
Oh, thank you.
For more information, visit boosterseat.gov. This has been a message from the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Time now for the American Defender Sports Report. Play ball! Here's your host, Jeff Sylvia.
The sports update brought to you by your American Defenders of Nashua, home of the $1 ticket. Let's get to the defenders. First of all, these guys deserve some attention. I was watching a bit on Nesson this past week, and I'm going to tell you, these guys are absolutely legit. Not to mention having a huge Red Sox influence. You got big-time ownership in Dan Duquette, former owner of the Red Sox. You have manager Brian Daubach, who played at the major league level for the Sox at first base for a bunch of years. And these guys battle hard. Let me tell you, it's not always the most talented players put together who get it done. Most of the time, it's a bunch of guys who've got great team chemistry. And you look at champions in any sport across the years, and that's what you're going to see. A lot of these players for the defenders, they found out, served in Iraq together. And for that reason alone, these guys are heroes. They have this connection, and they're gaining team chemistry every game, every practice, every team meeting. And, you know, you got to remember, it's only their first year. And listen, it's a great ballpark to come and watch a game. It's 401 or 407, I think, to center field, 307 to left field corner, and 340-something out to right. It's definitely a top-shelf ballpark. And it's good baseball, too. These guys get pitchers that throw in the 90s. They've got power hitters. They can play small ball. I mean, these guys have the tools to make a run at the best teams in the league, if you ask me.
And if you haven't been to a game, you know that, you know, I got to tell you, there's not a bad seat in the house. I promise you. They've got stuff for the kids. They've got plenty of adult bevvies, not to mention Thirsty Thursdays when the beers are super cheap. And the luxury boxes are stacked with an over 21 club if you're ditching the kids. So either way, it's a great time for short money. And these guys are definitely fun to watch. So check them out, the American Defenders of New Hampshire at historic Holman Stadium. You can check out the website at www.americandefenders.us. All your game times, box scores, player info, it's right there. And I'm at a lot of the games, too, with Gavin's from the show. So look us up. If you're at the game, I'll be sure to tip one back with you. And come on out. It's a blast. And as you know, this week, the headlines are all about Steve McNair. In an official statement, Steve McNair was shot four times and died at the scene, which was also his girlfriend's apartment. And next to him was his girlfriend with an automatic weapon found next to her. Now, earlier in the week, no one was talking about the girlfriend except to say that she had died from a single gunshot wound. And because of that, I said, when it becomes official, we'll talk about it. But I'm sitting here thinking to myself, is this a psycho girlfriend who flipped out? Later in the week, it comes out that her nephew reported that she bought a gun 2 days before the killing. And then yesterday it was officially reported that it was indeed a murder-suicide. So here's the situation that's coming into focus. He promises his girlfriend he's leaving his wife. Facts show that he bought her an Escalade and an apartment. Meanwhile, he strings along things at home for whatever reason. And there's poor Mrs. McNair with no clue at all. The girlfriend doesn't accept that. She feels lied to. And there you go. Now, am I alone on this? But, I mean, yes, we appreciate Steve McNair for what he did on the football field. But I'm not liking the fact that he was in a relationship when he's still married with kids to a stripper who works part-time at Dave & Buster's. And not for nothing, Dave & Buster's is awesome, by the way. But seriously, my concern is for the wife that didn't know about Steve McNair's girlfriend. I mean, can you imagine? Now she has to deal with the loss of her husband and father of her children and the infidelity as well. Either way, it's a sad day for the families. And a sad day for the NFL, Steve McNair dead at the age of 36. In other sports around the world, getting to Red Sox Nation last night, Tim Wakefield, the ageless knuckleballer, scattered 10 hits over 6 innings for 3 runs while striking out 8 and only allowing 1 walk. He goes 11-3 on the season while Cahill takes his 8th loss for the A's. Big Poppy had the 3-run blast for the Sox, and the Sox win 5-4. Yankees edged Minnesota 4-3 to remain one back, and now have won 8 of their last 10 games. And those pesky Rays won again in dramatic fashion over the Blue Jays for the second time in as many nights to keep pace. So nothing changes at all in the AL East. The Tour de France finds 7-time winner Lance Armstrong currently head-to-head with Fabian Cancellara in the 5th stage of the race. I mean, this guy is amazing. He won in 99, 2000, 01, 02, 03, 04, and 05 before retiring. So now he's back in pursuit of his unprecedented 8th Tour de France win. That, my friends, is what you call a legend in any sport. And for Shannon, Gail, and the rest of you ladies who haven't snuck out and are still listening to the sports, David Beckham. Oh, yeah, now I got your attention, don't I? Excerpts from Grant Wall's book, The Beckham Experiment, due out on July 14th, have not fazed Los Angeles Galaxy head coach and general manager Bruce Arena. Some quotes released through the Goals comms partner Sports Illustrated suggest that David Beckham's teammates questioned the Englishman's commitment to the team. Landon Donovan, captain of the Galaxy in particular, had stern words for the 34-year-old. But any worries about team chemistry issues in the dressing room once Beckham returns from his loan with the AC Milan team were brushed aside by Arena. Quote, I think the addition of David makes us a better team, the former United States national team coach said in a press conference following a 1-0 victory over the New England Revolution on Saturday. I don't know anything about the book. I've been around this a long time, and I don't believe a lot of stuff I've read. As it is, I've been buried a number of times, and that's all part of it. I don't think it's going to be a problem, end quote. And that's your American Defenders Sports Update. I'm Jeff Sylvia, back to Hidden Realms with my wicked good buddy, Gavin Cromwell.
This sports report has been brought to you by the American Defenders of New Hampshire. American Defenders of New Hampshire, home of the $1 ticket. Baseball fans rejoice. There's a new team in tax-free New Hampshire. Be part of the action at home or in the stadium as the American Defenders of New Hampshire take to the field all summer long.
Hi, I'm Brian Daboch, former Red Sox first baseman and manager of the American Defenders of New Hampshire, members of the Can-Am Professional Baseball League. Our team philosophy is hustle, think, win. And and our mission embodied support to the community through service and sacrifice.
Join them for Thirsty Thursdays or Firework Fridays, America's Defenders of New Hampshire, home of the $1 ticket. To learn more, check out their website at americandefenders.us or call them at 603-883-2255. American Defenders of New Hampshire is a proud sponsor of Gavin Cromwell's Hidden Realms on the Para-X Radio Network.
So what are you going to be doing Saturday, August 15th? Because you don't want to miss the most amazing BYOG yet. Bring your own ghost and come and party with your pants off. Hosted by Ghostology's Brian and Anna Marie. Guest speakers include Kristen Gartland from the hit TV show Ghost Hunters. Paranormal author April Slaughter. Tech genius Denver Robbins. And paranormal comedian Mike Brody. Visit www.ghostologyradio.com/byog.html and purchase your tickets now. While you're there, be sure to pick up tickets to Kristen's Paranormal 101 class. Class space is limited, so get your tickets before they're gone. Remember, that's www.ghostologyradio.com/byog.html. BYOG, August 15th, 2009, Lockhart, Texas. Be there or be somewhere else, missing out on all the fun.
I'm Dustin Perry from GHI, and I'm listening to Gavin Cromwell's Hidden Realms on Para X Radio. He's the only guy in the paranormal with hair as cool as mine.
Don't forget to check out Gavin's podcast, available now on iTunes. Now, once again, here's your host, Gavin Cromwell.
Thank you very much, guys. Okay, so we thank you very much to Jeff. I love him to pieces. He's becoming a firm favorite on the show. So a big thanks to Jeff Silver for our sports section every week. And I'll be seeing you this weekend, Jeff. And of course, we all know his lovely, lovely wife, Shannon Sylvia. And this first hour was sponsored by Pararockproductions.com, which is Shannon's company. And of course, she can cater to all your merchandise needs. She does t-shirts. So if you got, if you're an investigation team, and you want a website building, you want your t-shirts, you want your business cards, Shannon can do this for you. A lot of people will know Shannon from Ghost Hunters International and all the other wonderful investigations that she does along the way. So pararockproductions.com, check them out, guys. We've had a lot of clients going her way, and a lot of good friends of mine have contacted her for some t-shirts and some websites, and they're really, really pleased with the results. Some fantastic offers, really good prices too. So please check her out at pararockproductions.com. Okay, I want to say thank you to Katie Boyd. I want to say thank you to Richard Felix in the first hour. And again, Jeff Sylvia for doing a fabulous sports report for me. We're going to be going into a break in a second. And we're going to be coming back in the second hour with Scott Michaels in LA, with Gail Scott Key in the Hollywood News. And lots more fun games, of course. So stay tuned, guys. We'll be back after this quick break.
This hour of Gavin Cromwell's Hidden Realms is sponsored by Pararockproductions.com. Don't go away. Gavin will be right back.
ILN Radio with Miss Lucy, the phenomenal psychic mistress from Boston, airs on Mondays from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on Para-X Radio. Her readings are so deeply personal, she doesn't read on air, but the show rocks. And you can always schedule a personal reading with her at MasterLucy.com. She is a master of energy work and intuition. Don't miss the loads of information on Mondays, 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Para-X Radio Network by logging on to www.para-x.com.
Kentucky Area Paranormal Society. Caps. Explore the unknown. Caps. Discover the truth. With your hosts, Dave and Tom, Sundays at 8 p.m. on your source for everything paranormal, Para X.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest, near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your smoky on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forester, State Forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Gavin Cromwell's Hidden Realms is on the air. Welcome to the second hour of Gavin Cromwell's Hidden Realms. This hour, Gavin welcomes from L.A. Dearly Departed Tours, Scott Michaels, along with Gail Scott Keys, Hollywood News, and Gavin's Magical Mystery Tour of the Stars. It's another exciting second hour of Gavin Cromwell's Hidden Realms. Now, once again, here is your host, Gavin Cromwell.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, creatures of the netherworld, to Gavin Cromwell's second hour, okay? Hidden Realms. This hour is sponsored by Ideal Event Management, which is idealeventmanager.com. And I was with the guys in Philadelphia last weekend doing Fort Mifflin, with the guys from Ideal Event, with Mark and with Alex. I want to say a big hello to Alex. I think you're listening tonight. And the Taps guys, we were down there having a lot of fun at Fort Mifflin and some crazy, crazy times. So here's to more good times ahead, guys. Idealeventmanage.com sponsoring my second hour. Okay, I want to go into my next guest. Now, he's fabulous. I love him. I met him last time I was over in LA in Hollywood, and he was just great. I remember just sat there talking his ear off for ages and ages because he's so fascinating and knowledgeable of the darker side of Hollywood. Scott Michaels, are you there?
I am. Thank you, Kevin. What a great introduction.
Welcome, Scott Michaels. I mean, this is great. I mean, what have you been up to? I mean, when I came over, Scott, you had such the... I was just so impressed with the gruesome little artifacts I've seen in your little museum there.
Yeah, well, you know, it is. I've sort of become a catch-all for all the weird things that people have in their collections that they just don't know what to do with anymore. The most recent acquisition that somebody had kindly had sent on to me was the last road post that James Dean had passed before his accident in 1955. Somebody was out at the old road's gone now. Actually, the intersection where they say James Dean died is actually about 50 yards from the actual intersection, but the old road is still up there. And this man went up there in the 70s and picked up this old post, and he didn't know what to do with it, so he sent it to me, and I said, "Thank you very much."
Oh, that's awesome! I love that. I just think it's brilliant. I can relate to it so much because I always pick up little gruesome things from all my little locations that I do. So, Scott, you do a very famous tour over in Hollywood called the Dearly Departed Tours,
and yeah, the Tragical History Tour. That's right.
Oh, fabulous! The Tragical History Tour. Brilliant, brilliant. I mean, what do you do? Tell the listeners, anybody that might not have heard of Scott Michaels, what you do, what you get up to over there in Hollywood.
Well, the tour that I run, the standard Dearly Departed Tour, is a 3-hour tour, covers about 100 locations in Hollywood and around Hollywood where famous deaths happen, suicide scandals, murders. But also, I try to keep it a little upbeat and add in a few like film locations and I say it's a lighthearted look at the dark side of Hollywood. A lot of people that take the Dearly Departed tour will bring their boyfriends or their girlfriends or their spouses, and their spouses will come along, you know, to appease their partners. But the other tour I have, which is the Helter Skelter tour, devoted strictly to the Manson murders of 1969, I got a lot of single riders for that one. I think some people will draw a line there.
Oh, I love it. And you actually gave me a piece of Sharon Tate's actual fireplace last time I seen you.
Sharon Stone.
Sharon Stone, yeah.
There's not many people that would find this funny, Gavin. Not very funny people at all.
I know, but it's just a little sick sense of humor there. I mean, it's a great sort of party conversational piece. I get it out at the most random moments when people are over and they're like, "Oh my god, I can't believe it, take it off me." I love it. So I mean, what sort of things do you cover on the Dearly Departed tours? I mean, we've talked about the Sharon Tate thing, you know, obviously a Marilyn Monroe element coming in there, the darker side of things. I know the Black Dahlia, which freaked me out seeing those pictures last time I was over there. She got cut in half or something.
Yeah, I mean, and just sliced in half just begins to tell you what happened to her. I mean, she was tortured over a period of time. She had been forced to I can speak about them, but I speak about them on the tour. Your general audience probably wouldn't appreciate the details, but a lot of what happened to her was actually quite creative in a bizarre kind of way. So I go into explicit detail of what exactly happened, and also the people on the tour are provided with a book of photographs on the tour, and the Black Dahlia ones are actually covered up. It's their choice if they want to see them or not. Most people do, but most people are taken aback by it.
It's like when you see a dead animal on the road all squished. You don't want to look at it, but you just got to. You know?
That's true, actually.
It's that sort of feeling. But I saw those pictures. I mean, she must be, I mean, wherever she might be right now, her, for example, the Black Dahlia, she's going to be a tortured soul somewhere, you know? I wonder where she kind of hangs out, her kind of spirit, you know? Is there a certain location where she might have been seen?
Well, she was a, there's lots of speculation as to what she had, some say she was a prostitute. We know that the last place she was actually seen, I had just learned this recently by some people that were experts. I had always heard that she was last seen at the Biltmore Hotel. But actually, she was one of those taxi dancers, you know, one of Dime a Dance kind of places downtown was the last place she was seen. Now, I don't know if she got any joy from that, but I would like to think that if she were to make an appearance or if she were to hang around somewhere, it would be some place that she felt fondness for. And I don't know if there was very much of that in Los Angeles for her. I mean, she was originally from Massachusetts, actually.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I believe it's Bedford, Massachusetts that she's from.
Bedford.
And I do believe she's got a sister that's still alive out there, too.
Oh, wow. That's pretty crazy. I didn't even know that, Scott.
Yeah, she's...
She might be listening right now.
Who knows? You'll hear soon enough.
I know. But this is great. I mean, what's your favorite gruesome tale of Hollywood?
Well, I mean, it is the Manson murders. I mean, that the Sharon Tate, the Tate LaBianca murders of 1969 are my obsession. And we recently had published a documentary about them called The 6 Degrees of Helter Skelter. But instead of putting together where, how could this horrible thing have happened, you know, the captain of the football team, the cheerleaders, how could they have done this thing? Well, we focused on this is where it happened, because that's what I do. So it's a geographical retelling of the story. And I'm obsessed with just the minutia of it. That's my favorite. But the true crime stories are really what, are a big interest of mine, most definitely. I mean, of course, everyone is interested to a degree in Marilyn Monroe but if Marilyn really did haunt every place they say she haunted, you know, she probably wouldn't be in the same place, you know, for two nights in a row.
She's a very busy spirit.
You know, everyone says they've got Marilyn haunting them. but that's an interest of mine, you know. Marilyn did have 70 addresses in her short lifetime, so it's quite likely she's around one or two of them.
I mean, she's bound to be. She's, you know, a lot of energy. She likes to make an impact. So she's bound to be at one of them. Now, is there any of the stories in the Hollywood stuff? We've been talking about occultism and demonology and all this sort of stuff tonight. Was there anything, obviously, you know, the Manson stuff, but sort of occultish, demonic sort of things in Hollywood, anything like that sort of nature?
Well, I mean, there are people I've just recently been exposed to, and I don't know if by this you mean like the Church of Satan sort of stuff like that. Is that what you mean, or?
Anything.
Oh, okay. Yeah, go on, Scott.
Yeah, tell me more, Scott.
Now, there was a sideshow performer, a very well-known sideshow performer called Schlitzie. And Schlitzie was one of the stars of the 1932 movie Freaks. And she was the inspiration for a cartoon character called Zippy the Pinhead, and then the inspiration for a mascot for a band called the Ramones. Anyway, through a bunch of people, we actually got Schlitzie's grave marked, and we raised the money to do that. We had a little ceremony. And we had a difficult time finding someone to come out to bless the grave. because in the Catholic cemetery, the priest wanted a certain amount of money, and we didn't have that much money, et cetera. So one of the gentlemen in the group actually volunteered. He says, "Oh, I'm an ordained minister." And he said, "Oh, great." So we got him to do it. And I find out afterwards he was Church of Satan. And I thought, well, that's interesting, you know, only in L.A.
Oh, fabulous.
But I guess it took away the negative connotations. I mean, I certainly don't understand it. It's not part of my world. But I couldn't be a nicer guy, and he couldn't put together a nicer ceremony for us to enjoy. But it was just an interesting perspective that I'd never had before. But as far as the occult goes and that sort of thing, you know, the little I know about it are probably the more salacious rumors, you know, having to do with like Mansfield being involved with the occult and Anton LaVey and the Church of Satan, that sort of thing.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I forgot about those. It's going to be crazy. Now, we've got something coming up, Scott, soon, me and yourself. We're going over to, the Wax Museum, the Hollywood Wax Museum. We're doing an investigation there after midnight. Now, I'm terrified of mannequins, Scott.
Oh, I know. I feel your pain. So where do you get there? I've been there at night.
I've been speaking to Miss Marla Brooks about this, and I've said, do you realize that I'm the biggest waxwork phobe ever? And she said, don't worry, Scott's the same. So I'm going to be clinging to you for dear life. Do you realize this?
We'll probably be clinging to each other for dear life as we run out the back door.
Exactly. I mean, is it a crazy place? Is it haunted?
Well, I mean, according to the people, you know, Marla and I certainly heard things in there that we were uncomfortable with, and Marlo, you know, she knows me well enough to know that I'm a complete skeptic when it comes to this sort of thing. I usually have one eye cocked and thinking, yeah, right. But that night, a couple of the weird things did happen, you know, sometimes when psychics pick up on things, you know, because I'm not sensitive to that sort of thing, I really need to be slapped in the face with it. And there were a couple of really disturbing moments there, but the psychics picked up on things. Victoria Gross, who was with us, certainly did. But what we picked up on were a couple of noises, groans, I think, and was it footsteps? I think we heard too, as well, in the back by the Chamber of Horrors. I'm getting you all excited about it.
I know. I keep forgetting that there's a Chamber of Horrors in there, and I'm thinking after midnight, Chamber of Horrors, mannequins, pitch black in the Wax Museum is just—it's my idea of hell, Scott. I got to be honest with you. I'd rather face a demon.
Well, I feel the same way, but I made it, so you'll be okay. Yeah. As long as you stick with the group, you'll be fine, honestly.
I will. And what's this about the Jude Law mannequin being possessed or something?
Well, that's what Victoria picked up. Now, also, I will say that sometimes when you... Victoria, from what I understand, claims that sometimes spirits are kind of hovering around, and because they're so used to having a human form, they will cling to a mannequin as a, you know, sort of a shell of some sort. But I'll tell you, a couple of those mannequins, when you go right up to them eye to eye, it's quite, you know, I'm not going to say it isn't disturbing. It really was. And of course, Marla, too, will probably tell you the story about The Last Supper, which is supposed to be the most haunted exhibition in the museum.
Well, hang on a minute. They've got mannequins doing The Last Supper.
Yeah.
Oh, my
God. And one of the apostles has the most... It's the most scariest thing on the planet. I mean, I this thing was just, I was transfixed by it. I just knew at any second the thing was going to whip its head around and be staring right at me.
Oh, bloody hell, Scott!
But it didn't.
I'm pleased to hear about that. I'm pleased to hear it didn't do that. But it's interesting about the Jude Law thing, you know, thinking, you know, if there's a spirit there, you know, that doesn't, you know, want to kind of attach itself to a human, can kind of do it to a mannequin, you know, it's attached itself to a mannequin, you know. I don't know. I'm interested to set it out for myself, but I'm fascinated by that.
I would be very fascinated to if you picked up on anything in that sense. You know, Victoria also made a good point that the museum has always been it's been a museum for 40 years, and there's just a lot of foot traffic in the museum. People just going in and out, and just as they would be walking down the boulevard during the day, the spirits are at night. And I found that very interesting.
It is interesting. Oh, I'm so looking for. I mean, it was a very brief visit when I came over before, and it was kind of like, you're in, you're out. And this time I'm going to have a bit more time to explore and get down to the nitty gritty with you and kind of see this kind of interesting side of Hollywood, you know?
Yeah, most definitely. No, I look forward to that.
It's going to be fantastic. And I need to bring you some, you know, interesting thing. I promised you a Lizzie Borden head knocker. I haven't got there yet. I need to add to your museum. I remember that the only thing I had on me at the time was two Cocodamol tablets, which is pure codeine in the UK. And I had a banging headache. And that's, and I signed the packet for you and I put it into your little museum as my little kind of addition.
I'm looking at the empty packet right now.
Yeah, I left there for a little emergency for you, you know? But, I mean, it's so fascinating. And of course, I mean, those two DVDs you got me, I mean, really gave me a feel for the tour, for where you go on it. And you really have got a passion for this, you know, sort of side of it all. I think it's fantastic.
I'm really proud of the DVDs. In the first one, we got so lucky because, what we do is, we covered about 18 stories, specifically. Yeah. To where things happen, whereas a lot of people think it's my tour documented, and it's actually 18 specific, biographies, ends of biographies. And we were allowed amazing access to Gene Harlow's last home. We got into the apartment where the actor Albert Dekker committed autoerotic asphyxiation. And actually, if you remember, we told the girl in the apartment while she was showing us the apartment.
She was freaked, but then she thought it was quite cool, actually.
it was fantastic. I mean, just for the hell of it, I knocked on her door and said, "Can we come in with a camera?" She said, "Sure." And as I explained, you know, about the handcuffs and the hypodermic needles and the lipstick writing and what happened in her own bathtub, she was quite freaked out by that. In a good way, though.
She was up for it. She loved it. She was excited to have you in there, and she was loving all the gruesome details. And I bet she had all her friends around looking at the bathroom after that.
Yeah, well, I sent her the copy of the death certificate so she could frame it in her bath.
I love this. Listen, Scott, stay exactly where you are. I've got more things I want to talk to you about. We're going to go to a quick break now. So, guys, go and grab yourself a beer, pour another glass of red, and I'll catch you back here in a minute with more Scott Michaels.
Ideal Event Management is a proud sponsor of Gavin Cromwell's Hidden Realms. Don't go away. Gavin will be right back. Whether you need help putting together your event, looking for a celebrity, or just want to pump up the excitement, look no further than Ideal Event Management. Ideal Event Management is a top-rated paranormal events organizer. They also represent some of the biggest names and personalities in the paranormal community. Contact Mark at 413-478-3642 or check out their website at idealeventmanagement.com. Ideal Event Management is a proud sponsor of Gavin Cromwell's Hidden Realms. Join the Morning X every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. till noon. She's my terrified. Cool, baby, want some sleep. Stand by. Just move me away. Right here on your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. Today, we salute you, Mr. and Mrs. Para-X show host.
Mr. and Mrs. Para-X show host.
Armed with nothing more than a laptop and a microphone, you hit the air to scare the bejesus out of your audience.
What the hell was that noise?
Like a dog peeing on a fire hydrant, you always whet our appetite for more.
I just can't get enough.
Whether it's witches, ghosts, fairies, or Bigfoot, we admire your ability to set aside reality and believe anything anyone tells you.
Seek professional help.
So the next time you're kneeling in front of your 8x10 glossy of Dave and Tom lighting a candle, remember, if it wasn't for you, I might be able to sleep without the lights on.
Mr. and Mrs. Para-X Soho.
Para-X Radio Network, powered by CBS.
I know what you... Nobody else I know has been there.
It's not easy being a veteran.
Coming back from Iraq or Afghanistan. I had been so excited to come home.
But it's harder than I thought.
Not everyone understands that.
Things at home may be as you left them.
But you don't feel the same.
Join us at communityofveterans.org.
And connect to others who are going through the same thing.
Because no one knows what it's like to come back unless they were there.
Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
This is Barry Fitzgerald with GHI. You're listening to Gavin Cromwell on Para-X Radio.
Welcome back. Here he is, the man who sees what you're doing, so you'd better stop it, Gavin Cromwell.
Yes, I can see what you're doing, but don't stop on my account. Now, we've got Scott Michaels on the show. I'm so excited. I've been excited for ages to have him on the show because I met this guy last time I was over in LA and Hollywood, and we had a fabulous little time together. It was very brief, but it was exciting, all the stuff he was able to show me and things like this on the darker side of Hollywood. So Scott, we were just talking about the crazy things you've got in your museum. What's some of the other artifacts that you've got there? They're pretty impressive.
Well, I have a piece of the Hindenburg that it famously blew up. I had acquired it from someone who was an ambulance driver during that time, and when he passed away, his family took this piece that he stole. Not stole, but liberated. That's the term I like to use from the location, and chopped into four pieces. And that's actually one of the wisest thing I actually ever went after and actually purchased. But over the years, people have sent me different things. Somebody sent me a prescription for codeine. I think it was codeine made out to Natalie Wagner as opposed to Natalie Wood Wagner, which is kind of neat. So I have a little prescription bottle. Somebody had sent me two swatches of fabric from the car that Jane Mansfield was in when she was killed. It was a Jane Mansfield collector, and when he passed away, his friend found these things in his collection and said, you know, what do I do with this? And he did a little poking around on the internet, and he found me, and he asked me if I was interested in them. So of course, I said yes.
I was blown away at some of the stuff. Brian, what's this called, from the Rolling Stones, you got a pool tile or something.
That's right. It's about a 6-inch by 6-inch square blue tile that came from the swimming pool that Brian Jones drowned in.
Yeah.
And, it's just, you know, it's just over the years, these things come about, and I just learned never to hesitate. And, you interested? Yes, I'll have that. If it comes to a matter of price, I'll be happy to pay it if it's not ridiculous.
I mean, it's so fascinating as a psychic to go in, or somebody who's just sensitive, to do some psychometry, of course, holding an object and feeling the history of it, to do it on some of the things you've got. And the other thing that caught my eye that you had, Scott, was an original by Gacy, John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah. I did correspond briefly with John Wayne Gacy, and I was interested in a painting from him. So he sent me a nice note on stationery that says, you know, just a note from John Wayne Gacy with a little skull clown in the corner. It's on my wall now. So I bought it. I bought this thing, this painting from him. And as I understand it, these things have gone up in value quite a bit since he was killed.
Yeah.
But, it's just another thing.
I love it. I think it's great.
Somebody also had sent me, my good friend Alan Light, he's become a good friend through my website. He lives in Iowa, and Cary Grant was in Iowa at the time of his death doing a one-man show.
Yeah.
And he died in Davenport, Iowa, the morning or the afternoon he was supposed to do a show. My friend had tickets for that show that night. So I have in a frame Cary Grant's death certificate with his date of death and the ticket below it for that very same day, the show he didn't do. That just kind of weird things but they're the things that, you know, that I sort of gravitate towards.
It's an awesome collection. I my mind is whizzing on thinking what I can get my hands on for you that I can bring over for you, and I will. I'll be like dirt from a witch's grave or something.
Just make sure it doesn't come with any bad juju.
I'll make sure that it's erased of any bad juju. But I am making something, Scott. I'm putting together, there's a store in Salem, Massachusetts called Hex, and one of my very good friends, Christian Day, owns it. And I'm making a collection of dolls, sort of like Day of the Dead sort of dolls and stuff, and I was planning on making you like a Marilyn Monroe with a skull face. What do you think about that?
Oh, that's fantastic.
Like a rag doll.
And we're like in her 7-year itch pose with her skirt blowing up and there being skeleton below it. That'd be wonderful.
I'm going to do that for you. I'm going to make it for you and I'm going to bring it to LA and we can celebrate. And I think this is going to be good. I tell you what, guys, I sat there with Scott, a couple of beers, the stories this man can tell. I didn't want to leave him. I just wanted him to talk and talk and talk to me because it's just fantastic. And how I got asked this, how is the lovely Decker?
Oh, he's fine. His tummy's feeling a little funny right now, but he's just happy as a clam, and he's staring at me right now, going, "Give me a cookie."
I'll just let the listeners know that this is Scott's dog, not anything else. I forgot to say that it was his dog, but we've just got a little Chihuahua cross Dachshund called Ruthie, and she's jet black. She's like a little goth princess. I'm gonna have to get them to meet. I want them to meet. I want them to be like, best friends.
Oh, that'd be nice. Well, if you bring her out here, they will be.
Exactly, yeah. We're going to be bringing Ruth out with us, so this is great. So what's coming up for you, Scott? What new things have you got coming up? Apart from me visiting you, what else is coming up for you?
Well, soon, very, very soon, the Hollywood movie tours are coming up. I had acquired a license to actually show films on my bus now. And this is a sort of a unique tour. There's no one else doing it in Hollywood where we're showing films on the bus while we're pulling up to the location where the film was shot. So on my current tour, if we're passing, say, the hotel with the fire escape that Julia Roberts and Richard Gere did the finale for Pretty Woman, well, actually on the bus we're going to be watching that clip as we're outside the hotel.
It's about
a little over 3 hours long and about 80 films altogether. It's pretty extensive, but I think it's going to be a good thing. I'm excited about it. That's sort of what I've been devoting most of my time to for the last few months is getting that off the ground. But it's summer and, thankfully, and I hope I don't jinx anything. It's been a good summer for me so far, even though the economy is in the toilet. So I hope it keeps up. Knock on wood.
Well, I'm going to send you loads of positive energy. I'm going to think positive for you so you make mega bucks.
Thank you, Gavin. Thank you
my
so much.
I'm going to put a little something on my altar to make sure that sorts itself out for you. So these tours, everything you do, the Dearly Departed, the movie tours, all of this, how do people find out more about you, Scott? How do they get booked up on these things? Where can they find out about you?
Well, the website is dearlydepartedtours.com. And all the information on all the different tours. We even do a tour now with Nasty Nellie Olson, if you remember her from Little House on the Prairie.
Yes.
Her name was Allison Arngrim, and Allison does a tour with us now. It's Allison's tour of Hollywood.
Scott,
she grew up here.
I've got Martin sat in front of me. He's the biggest diehard Little House on the Prairie fan.
Oh, you guys have to do this when you're in town, too. I know for sure that there's one going that weekend. You have to do this tour. She is
Martin,
a riot.
Martin, get all tearful.
She's the greatest. I mean, her father used to represent Liberace. She went to grade school with Michael Jackson. The people used to dare her to go up to him for autographs. I mean, she's got the most terrific stories, and she brings that wig with her too.
Oh my God, that bloody wig is horrendous.
But you know what? Now I didn't know this. Allison taught me this. The man that made that wig for her on Little House on the Prairie is actually the man that designed the Whatever Happened to Baby Jane wig, the Betty Davis wig.
And oh, well, that's got kind of like the blonde ringlet thing going on.
Yeah. I mean, and I had no idea. So she's full of fun facts like that. And plus also, and I don't want to give too much away because she's really good at what she does. The makeup man on Little House on the Prairie was the same guy that did Marilyn's makeup in The Casket.
Oh,
it was Marilyn's
wow.
personal makeup man. So her stories are just, they're great. So if you, when you come into town that weekend, we'll definitely have to do that.
We're going to do it. We're going to have so much fun coming over there with you, Scott. And, I mean, can people get hold of them? This DVD, the two DVDs you gave me, I watched them, and they've been loaned out ever since. Everybody is lending these DVDs off me. I mean, can people get hold of these DVDs? Are they for sale?
Yeah, they could find them on the website, or actually they're both available on another website called HelterSkelterFilm.com. But all those links are on the Dearly Departed Tours.com website, and so they could find out pretty much anything they want to there, or drop me an email from that website, and I'll be happy to direct them the right way.
fantastic. I've seen you just the other night, actually, Scott, on one of these shows. You come up a lot on the shows that are talking about the Hollywood, kind of the darker side of Hollywood. I can't remember what it was called, the one I've seen you on recently. The 50
there
Worst.
There was one that they show a lot. I did it about 2-3 years ago called the 20 Most Horrifying Hollywood Murders.
Ah, this is the one I've seen, I think.
Yeah, it's a popular show, and it's terrific. And then also, since I've done interviews about 20 different subjects, they've interspersed my interviews with their E! True Hollywood Stories on those particular subjects as well.
Yes.
So as long as they put down dearlydepartedtours.com after they show me, I'm happy as a clam to have them use me.
Exactly, they did. They did put that on. I did notice that your website came up on there, and it was great. You're also on Access Hollywood, driving a presenter around in your little bus and stuff like that as well. I see you. I think it was Access Hollywood.
Yeah, I have done a few of those shows. And
Hollywood 411 and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah, we just did Channel 4 News in the UK, and CNN just did a piece on us recently. It's because of the Michael Jackson thing. Because, of course, Michael Jackson is now added to the Dearly Departed tour.
I was going to say this. What is the vibe over there in Hollywood and LA because of the whole Michael Jackson thing happening?
Well, I mean, you know what, Gavin, to be honest with you, I mean, I'm a bit cynical. I find that about, in all this hoopla, I sense about 30% real genuine grief and 70% a lot of people needing to get a program out and people gagging to be on television.
It's
a bit silly, the amount of attention that it's getting. However, you know, it's the age of the internet. I was thinking, because I was in London when Diana died, and I was thinking how different it is now, because it started in Paris, and it was a slow trickle through, you know, eventually the UK, then eventually to America and to the West Coast. And because of Twitter and everything else, people across the world knew it happened immediately. So they all reacted at the same time, and it just became this massive sort of thing. I don't know. It just, like I said, it was a bit exhausting to be around Los Angeles during that week when you just think, oh, put him in the ground already, for God's sake. But on the other hand, it's what I do. So
it was very sad news. It was shocking news because it's not the sort of a person you expect to die, you know. It was like Jade Goody in the UK. She's not somebody you expect to die. And it was just.
But it wasn't a surprise when she went, though, either.
Oh, no, of course, because she was suffering with cancer. But it was, it's just somebody that you don't expect. You can't picture them dying, you know. It's not.
Yeah.
It was that shock factor, but I've never been a Michael Jackson fan, so it didn't really hit me at all. I've never really, you know, it didn't really, I was like, oh my God, Michael Jackson's dead. Wow, that's random. And that was it, you know, and I just thought, I've never been a huge fan. Of course, it was sad news, but, you know, we get over these things.
But it's nothing like Diana was, and that's the sort of thing. It was like America's version of that, I think. You know, I remember, you know, when they announced he was dead, and then, you know, everyone's at his home in Encino, and there are three people here, there are four people here. By the, you know, 3 days from then, there was 500 people out in front of the place. It just, people wanted to feed into it and getting really caught up in it. I mean, I'll admit, I sat in front of the television and watched it for several hours, you know, because it's one of those things, it's like a deer in headlights. You just can't stop looking at it, even though there's no new information.
And it was history. I mean, you're watching a part of history, really, because it's going to be something that will remember, you know, 100 years from now.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's crazy. Well, Scott, I could talk to you all night. I'm going to have to wrap this interview up, but I'm very sad to do so. Ladies and gentlemen, Scott Michaels. I want a round of applause for him, first of all.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you. I can't wait to see you.
Oh, listen, I'm going to be over there 6th of August. We're going to rip up Hollywood, my love.
Wonderful. All right, take care, Gavin.
See you soon, my loves. Take care.
Bye now.
Bye-bye, Scott. Bye-bye. Okay, guys, stay tuned with us now. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with my magical mystery tour of the stars.
This hour of Gavin Cromwell's Hidden Realms is sponsored by Ideal Event Management, your events expert. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Ideal Event Management is your top-rated paranormal events organizer. They represent some of the biggest names in the paranormal community. Whether you need help putting together your event, looking for a celebrity, or just want to pump up the excitement, Ideal Event Management can help you. Contact Mark at 413-478-3642 or check out their website at idealeventmanagement.com. You'll be glad you did. Ideal Event Management is a proud sponsor of Gavin Cromwell's Hidden Realms.
Imagine a world where this sound was never heard again. It's hard to imagine such a world, but it could happen. Luckily, there is a place where caring people are dedicated to stop such a tragedy from happening. Wolf Hollow is a nonprofit organization which began its mission in 1988 by the late Paul Safran to dispel the myths about one of the most misunderstood creatures on our planet, the Great Wolf. But they need your help.
Hi, this is Joni Safran, the director of Wolf Hollow in Ipswich, Massachusetts. Won't you help us to preserve, protect, and educate people about the majestic wolf? Your donation will help us help them. Thank you.
Go to www.wolfhollowipswich.org to find out how you can help. That's www.wolfhollowipswich.org. Please do it today. Don't let the howl be silenced.
Let me drive.
How do you know when it's time to give up the keys? When your dog grabs your keys from your lap and your lap is on the floor. Yep, it's Jeff Foxworthy for RAD saying, when you party, be sure to designate before you celebrate.
If you want to make it home alive, let me drive.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Please don't drink and drive. It's not fun.
This is Brian Fitzgerald with GHI. You're listening to Gavin Cromwell on Para-X Radio.
Be advised, it's time for Gavin Cromwell's Magical Mystery Tour of the Stars.
Now, roger that, Houston. Godspeed, Gavin.
Welcome back. We had the fabulous Scott Michaels on just then, but now we are on Gavin Cromwell's Magical Mystery Tour of the Stars. And for those of you who don't know it there, I'm not an astrologer, but I do a reading for each star sign every week. So let's see how it goes. Listen out for your star sign, guys, and we're going to kick off with Aries. Okay, Aries, a clash of personalities could flare up in work or social environment. A call from a family member could be an emotional one, and a solution will be needed. Taurus, stop gossiping and talking behind somebody's back. It could come back to bite you. Don't overspend on something you really want. The perfect solution awaits. Geminis, this is me, all you air signs out there. New friends start to come into the picture, and work will become exciting from being in the right place at the right time, Geminis. So please remember that. Don't take on any excess baggage. Cancer, feeling a bit under the weather will come to an end this week. Stop worrying about other people and concentrate on number one. Get those creative skills going. Leo, it's time to touch base with a friend or relative you have not been around for a while. This will benefit you. Making changes around the home may occupy you now, but you are about to become very bored. Virgo, your brain needs some good stimulation, so seek out something that you've been meaning to do or meaning to give a go. New friends await you. Ask existing friends to get involved with you on new projects. Libra, some exciting news for you and a partner gets you going. Also, new projects for you will be very beneficial. New faces intrigue you, so trust that gut instinct. Scorpios, fun. You love a party and there's no shortage of good times ahead. A sit-down talk about future work projects proves successful. Sagittarius, don't be surprised if you physically don't feel yourself this week. It is a sign to take a well-earned break. Talk to friends who are in the line of work that interests you. Capricorn, some insecurity steps in, making you want to feel loved and appreciated. Try to think outside the box because people could find this very annoying. Don't sign anything this week. A downfall is headed your way. You will survive and feel better in the bigger picture. So don't worry too much, Capricorn, but you are in for a letdown. Aquarius, a dispute with a partner needs to happen to make you realize if you truly are happy or not. Some extra cash comes your way, and if you commit to something this week, make sure you see it through. And last but well, yeah, it's going to be the least. Pisces, stick to your guns when it comes to matters of the workplace. People are being petty. You are the one in the right. Romantic advances could lead to something very serious and a bit special. And that was your Magical Mystery Stars of the Week, sponsored by my salon, Bella Vita Salon and Spa in North Andover, which makes me look like a superstar every day. Stick with us, guys. After the break, we got Gail Scott-Key and her fabulous Hollywood news.
Gavin's Magical Mystery Tour of the Stars has been sponsored by Bella Vita Salon and Day Spa. Bella Vita means beautiful life. Join the International Paranormal Awards website today, where the paranormal, the spiritual, and more celebrate the adventures of the unknown and reaches to the stars. Go to www.ipaawards.org and become a member for free. Whether you're a paranormal professional or just an enthusiast, you will be among friends. Join today for free. Go to www.ipaawards.org. The International Paranormal Awards, where the paranormal shines.
You've enjoyed Para-X on your computer at work and at home. But today, there's a new way to listen to your favorite shows. Para-X has gone mobile. That's right. Para-X is now available on the Nokia Internet Radio Network. Now, you can take Para-X with you wherever you go. Never miss your favorite shows again. Para-X on your cell phone. Tune in today. Nokia Internet Radio is available on all Nokia portable devices with access to the Internet. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. Now on Nokia.
It's time for news from the entertainment world with the Hollywood hottie herself, Gail Scott-Key.
Go Gail, go Gail, go Gail, woohoo! How have you been?
Oh my goodness, so much to catch up on, so much that we've
Let's
done.
Let's crack straight on with it then. Tell me, give me the gossip.
Well, last week, of course, you know, they had the Michael Jackson Memorial.
I know, I've seen some of it.
Very touching. You did see it?
I did see some of it. I've seen Jennifer Hudson going, wah!
Oh, and you know, so I'm talking about Jennifer Hudson doing that. Well, she's also pregnant, which is a great sign for her.
Oh, wow.
Because you know
when she came out, yeah. So she was singing, I didn't notice she was pregnant.
Exactly. She's gone through some personal tragedy, so it must have been hard, but it was, you know, kudos to her and everybody else who contributed. Mariah Carey, Brooke Shields talking about Michael Jackson when she was talking about when he was holding her hand with that sequined gloved, and she was like, what is that all about? But of course, that's when Michael Jackson, unfortunately, was going through all of that discoloration with his skin.
Of course.
The biggest thing, of course, is that everybody is coming out. And it's so surprising, Gavin, to me, that everybody is now coming out. Because when Michael Jackson was alive, you didn't hear anything from the dermatologist. All of this, now he's speaking.
I know.
Possibly he was a dad.
That's what we were just saying.
Exactly. I don't even want to say his name. Honestly, you know why? Because it's about Michael Jackson's kid. When Paris was up there talking about the memorial and crying and giving that emotional speech.
It was heartbreaking.
It was seeing her talking about her dad and saying that. And you know, the thing is that he should be thinking about the kids. Mm-hmm. This is about the kids. This is about honoring Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Of course, Reverend Al Sharpton, I had the pleasure of interviewing Reverend Al Sharpton. He came to Derry, New Hampshire when I was
He was cool. I watched him.
Wasn't it awesome?
Yeah.
Like, there was nothing wrong about your dad.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, everybody was out there giving kudos to him. And of course, we were talking about the threes, why things happen in threes. Did you ever do your homework and find out about
that?
No, I didn't.
I should have, I was on his show. Vincent J. Barrow is my numerologist. I should have asked him.
You should have, because of course, it was tragic. Stephen McNair. He was the quarterback for the Titans. Did you hear about this?
I think Jeff was saying something about it in his sports section.
Yeah, his 20-year-old girlfriend was driving, and she was caught with a DUI, and he happened to be in the vehicle, so he was able to go into a taxi. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, she had actually ended both their lives.
terrible.
And they were showing views of them, you know, parachuting before. So it's very tragic. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we won't have any more bad news out of Hollywood news about anyone dying. But I do have great news for
you. Tell me.
Right here in our backyard, I had the pleasure of interviewing writer-director Aaron Wiederspan of Either Or Films. And Gavin, mm-hmm. what I have for you is incredible.
I'm excited about this.
You are?
Yes,
you
I've been building up
be.
For this.
You should be, because Aaron and I had a chance to talk about his life as a director. He did some other stuff behind the scenes. But the success of his first feature film, which is Sensation of Sight, along with his partner and executive producer, Buzz McLaughlin. Mm-hmm. And here's what they had to say about this movie. They got lots of awards and lots of props.
Okay, let's see it.
Basically, Buzz and I, you know, we had met in, I was doing some work with a theater company in Orlando, Florida, had produced a play that Buzz had written, which won the 1996 National Play Award. And from my producing that play, we connected, became good friends, and then I started sharing some of my work with him. Mm-hmm. And he responded to it, and so we decided to start our own company. And obviously, as we were starting out as independent, you know, filmmakers, we had to decide which one. And we took a look at my script, The Sensation of Sight, and decided that it was a good starting point for our company. So mm-hmm. we ended up finding a location in New Hampshire. Ended
yes.
up moving to New Hampshire full time, because Buzz has been, and he'd been a university professor and playwright in residence at Drew University in New Jersey. He'd been coming up to New Hampshire for the summers, and so I'd come to visit him up here. And when we found Peterborough, New Hampshire, which was the location for The Sensation of Sight, it was just the perfect place. And then I fell in love with New Hampshire. I'd grown up in Wyoming. I like open spaces. I like this sort of quality of life, and I just fell in love with New Hampshire, so we all made it our permanent home as well.
And we're glad you're our neighbor.
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's great. And so that's sort of, you know, where it all began.
Now, Gavin, they also landed a well-known actor for the lead in this award-winning film.
Okay.
That actor is David Stratham, who was opposite Tom Cruise in The Firm. He also starred in Dolores Claiborne, and Aaron also tells us in Either Or Films how they partnered up with the actor, and you're not going to believe this.
Wow,
check it out.
Okay.
Yeah, we were very, very fortunate to have an absolutely stellar cast. The lead was played by David Strathairn, and he was nominated, you know, for an Academy Award for Best Actor for Good Night and Good Luck.
How did you get him?
Well, you know, what's interesting is Buzz had worked years ago. Buzz founded a theater company in New Jersey called the Playwrights Theater of New Jersey, and he'd worked on a handful of productions with David. They'd been friends, and when we talked about this script, I've always loved David's work, and I thought David would be perfect for this role.
Sure.
And so Buzz said, well, you know, I haven't spoken to David in about 10 years and whatnot, and, you know, they've just been both off doing their respective work, and he said, let's, you know, try to get in touch with him and see. And sure enough, we got in touch with him, and he thanked us for thinking of him and said, send the script. And we sent it, and he loved it and said, yeah, I'll do it.
Now, you know something, Gary, this storyline in Sensation of Sight was rather unusual.
Oh,
because Aaron's going to explain to us what exactly the main character was going through. So check this out.
Okay.
The center of this piece concerns a high school English teacher, which is played by David, and he witnesses a, you know, tragedy that happens in his classroom, and it causes him to sort of spin off into questioning why these things happen. So he leaves his job as a teacher, he leaves his wife, and he's got a son and whatnot, and he sets about selling, somewhat, even absurdly, selling encyclopedias.
Now, you know something, Garen?
Mm-hmm. I
why
know.
Why do you call him Garen?
I don't know.
Like John Zappas when he was like,
Galvan.
Now, Aaron and Buzz will be filming in the fall of this year on New Hampshire in the film called Someplace Like America. And when I ask Aaron about the location of where this film will be made, Gavin, you won't even believe where it's going to be filmed. Check it out.
Someplace Like America is... Well, I guess it started. I had worked on the last film on Sensation of Sight. I had worked with an actress, with Anne Cusack, and she became a good friend, and thus since knew couple other guys, a couple journalists that, you know, they've won like three Pulitzers between them. And this photojournalist at the Washington Post and the author and print journalist, he's at Columbia University School of Journalism there. And they've been chronicling the decline of industry since the early 80s, basically following the post-industrial age, since the steel mills and whatnot shut down in Youngstown, Ohio, and just, you know, the aftermath and what's taking place amongst our middle class.
Now, of course, where he was talking about that, Gavin, you won't believe this. My co-host from Hollywood, New England, John Campanella, was in a scene last week with Ann Cusack.
John the Hottie.
John the Hottie was in a scene with Ann Cusack. So, of course, Aaron is telling us, you know, there are going to be filming in Berlin, New Hampshire.
This is
and
great.
We all, of course, are going to be watching. Yeah. And we've been invited on the set. This is very exciting.
Oh.
And Aaron was touching on how the economic stimulus of today, because you know it's been affecting all the Americans and what's
everybody.
Going on. The baseline of this movie, if you will, and he was basically explaining more of what this is really going to do and how people can relate to this, and this is what he had to say.
Okay.
What we did is we wanted to bring it into a contemporary context, both then and myself, as far as what's happening now. And seeing as how Buzz and I live in New Hampshire now, I started looking all over the state, you know, the state film office, they're great. The commissioner of the Department of Cultural Resources, Van McLeod, fantastic. And the film office is in his branch, Jack Ferns and whatnot. And some folks, they started taking us around, seeing what's, you know, happening in the state, just from a transportation thing. And that's when we stumbled upon Berlin, New Hampshire, and up in the North Country there. All the paper mills, you know, have been shutting down.
That's
the paper
perfect.
Industry is collapsing up there, and all of a sudden we realize, wait, here's the perfect setting and picture for the story that we want to tell. The microcosm is the macrocosm, and we're telling a story about lives, sort of the human aftermath when industry goes away.
Right.
How do we deal with that as a community, as a people, and how do we rebuild, forge ahead, continue to find hope, and nurture a true sense of community for the future and for the next generation. And so this story is about that, set in this small little town that is actually, as we speak, currently going through that transition.
Yeah,
that's huge.
True. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But here is the biggest thing, Gavin.
Okay.
Imagine this. This musician, who is also a celebrity, they're talking about lending his vocal cords to the film as well. And you'll be very surprised who they're looking at. And when I asked Aaron and posed a question, of course, because it's a Hollywood segment, this is what he said, who might be talking about this.
And as most people know, in this industry, how it works, nothing is definitive yet. I mean, we're still in the midst of even, you know, finishing up raising finances and getting all of that together. So, you know, dates can shift and push. But what we can say is that these journalists, their book, Journey to Nowhere, the thing that we had the option to, when it had a second printing in the early 90s, Bruce Springsteen got behind the book, was very supportive of it, and wrote an introduction to the book for them, and then also there were a couple songs in particular that were directly inspired by the book that Springsteen wrote on his The Ghost of Tom Joad album.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so he's been very, very supportive and connected to this project from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of us in the film, is that something that we would, you know, pursue and, of course, love to see made manifest, absolutely.
Bruce Springsteen.
Wow. Love him, totally love him.
That
love
is
Mike.
Incredible.
I want to thank you. Kudos to Mike.
Mike is the number one producer.
Mike is incredible.
He is super producer. I love him.
He is super producer.
Power producer.
He is. And also, Aaron has invited us, when they start filming in the fall, for you and I to come on the set and check it out.
Oh,
and
wow.
We know who we're going to run into. So, of course, we'll do a huge Hollywood update for you on that segment.
That's going to be great. Maybe somebody might need some spiritual guidance on set. I'll be there.
Baby, I always need it. You know that. So
absolutely.
That's what I've got for you, and that's what I've been doing. And
thank
next week
you.
I'll follow up with you.
We're going to talk to you, Gail, more next week about all this fabulous stuff in Hollywood. Thank you, my love, for taking
You're
time
welcome.
Out for us and adding a bit of glam to Hidden Realms. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you, Gail.
Welcome.
Okay, we're going to go to a quick break, guys. Join us in a second. I think Marla Brooks is going to be coming up.
Ideal Event Management is a proud sponsor of Gavin Cromwell's Hidden Realms. Don't go away. Gavin will be right back. Whether you need help putting together your event, looking for a celebrity, or just want to pump up the excitement, look no further than Ideal Event Management. Ideal Event Management is a top-rated paranormal events organizer. They also represent some of the biggest names and personalities in the paranormal community. Contact Mark at 413-478-3642 or check out their website at idealeventmanagement.com. Ideal Event Management is a proud sponsor of Gavin Cromwell's Hidden Realms.
Hi, this is John.
I love him. John.
Don't forget to check out Gavin's podcast, available now on iTunes. Now, once again, here's your host, Gavin Cromwell.
Brooks, you there?
I am.
Hello, love. How are you?
I'm very good. How about you?
I'm very, very good. Did you hear Scott Michaels on the show earlier?
I certainly did. One of my favorite people in the whole world.
Oh, I tell you what, he is fabulous. I can't wait to come over there on the 6th of August.
Oh my God, we're going to have so much fun. I think we're going to have more fun watching you and Scott in the Wax Museum.
Do you know what? We need to film that because it's going to be legendary.
We're going to have someone with quick legs to follow you guys as you run out the door.
I'm right, you're right. So Marla, who's coming up on the show tonight for you?
Well, we've got that infamous EVP, we think, of Robert the Doll coming on.
I heard it, Marla. I nearly died. It is so spine-chilling.
I know. That little whine was just...
Michael.
And then we also have the man from the Haunted Mortuary in New Orleans. So we've got a very spooky, scary show tonight.
Well, I've been making some sort of New Orleans-inspired dolls for Hex in Salem, a store in Salem, which are looking pretty cool. So that's good. That's good. And speaking of New Orleans, actually, one of my guests next week is Raven, and he's a voodoo specialist. So
So
we've got a bit of a theme. And my other guest next week, of course, is Barry Fitzgerald. That everybody.
Oh, I love Barry.
A bit of Irish. It's going to be two Celtics on the line at the same time from Ghost Hunters International. Barry Fitzgerald is going
wonderful. I had him on my CBS show, and he's fantastic.
He is. He's such a nice guy. I did an investigation with him at the Edith Wharton House a while back with Ghost Hunters International, and that was pretty cool. So it's going to be good. So the show on the 6th, Marla, is going to be crazy.
We are going to do 5 hours, all of us. That's amazing. And on webcam.
The energy.
Scary.
From a mystery location.
Yes. From a haunted Hollywood mystery location. So, yeah.
Yes, it really will be. And Mark, of course, we're going to be joined by Mark.
Mark Nelson will be there. Scott Michaels will be there. And some special guests, too.
Yourself. And it's going to be great. So, also Taps Home Team.
Yes.
Taps Home Team are going to be there. And it's just going to be... an incredible show, Marla. I'm going to bring the energy crystals because I really think it's going to be dynamite.
Oh, it will be. How can it not be? Look who we're gathering together.
Exactly. And of course, we've got two pretty feisty witches there, me and yourself there, Marla.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. We have to have the witch faction there.
The witch faction. I love it. Yes. Absolutely. So I'm going to let you carry on with your fabulous show coming up, Marla. I want to say to all the listeners, listen to Marla Brooks' show coming up. It's going to be fabulous. But like I said, guys, my two guests next week is Raven, and he's a voodoo specialist. We're going to be getting all voodoo and all sort of indulgent with that. Barry Fitzgerald of Ghost Hunters International, who I did an investigation with a few weeks ago. Gail Scott Key will be there with the Hollywood Roundup. Ian Shillito with the Haunted Isles. And we're going to have Jeff Sylvia, of course, with that sports section. So it's going to be a great show next week. Thank you to all my guests tonight. Thank you to everybody. Have a great show, Marla. And thank you to everybody in the chat room and all the listeners. Good night, guys. Have a safe one.
You've been listening to Gavin Cromwell's Hidden Realm, sponsored in part by Pararockproductions.com, Ideal Event Management, and Bella Vita Salon and Day Spa, and the American Defenders of New Hampshire. Be sure to check out Gavin Cromwell's Hidden Realms podcast, now available on iTunes.
Be sure to tune in next week as Gavin welcomes from Ghost Hunters International, Barry Fitzgerald.
Gavin Cromwell's Hidden Realms has been a Gavin Cromwell production in association with Attic Production Studios. Any rebroadcast or other use of this